Hello again. It is great to see everyone here in person. Hello to the folks online as well. We're glad that you're joining us online. You know, I would love to start today's talk out with a COVID-19 joke, but that would be tasteless. Ah, yeah, come on. We're getting to the part where we can start joking about the pandemic. We're at least getting close to it. Even though, you know, we're going to be feeling this pandemic for quite a while. We really are. You know, more divorces and more relationships in trouble, more substance abuse and addictions, more suicidal ideation and death. So many more of us are struggling with our mental health. And I want to say at the start, if that's you, if you're struggling with your mental health, you're not alone, right? It used to be that it was like about one in 10 of us, and now it's more like one in four of us. Four in 10 of us. It's a lot more. It's like an epidemic of clinical anxiety and depression going on right now. And so if that's happening in your life, please get the help that you need. I'd really encourage you to do that. Get the help you need. You know, we'd love to pray for you for healing. You know, God's still in the miracle business. Or maybe God, he wants to heal you through therapy and medication and getting professional help. Please, if you're struggling with your mental health, reach out and get the help you need. Today, we're going to talk, as Steph said, about anxiety, about how not to be anxious. And this talk will help people who struggle with their mental health, because God wants to heal all of our hearts, all of our souls. He does. But let me be clear. If you have something going on clinical, something physical, you know, some sort of imbalance, you know, that needs healing too, you know, both and. Put another way, I am praying, I am hoping that God heals all of our hearts today. But if he doesn't heal your body too, he can, but if he doesn't, please keep taking your medication, okay? This talk on anxiety today is for everyone, whether you have mental health illnesses, issues or not. It's for everybody. And that's because God's offering to heal all of our hearts. And at this time with the pandemic, we could all use help with anxiety. It's like the pandemic really turned it up. It really took it up to 11 for all of us when it comes to anxiety. There's so much more nervousness and so much more unease, just so much more anxiety going on in our lives and around us right now. And just like not all anxiety is mental illness, not all anxiety is bad. It is good, it is natural to be anxious when you're in real danger, when a lion is about to eat you, right? It's okay, it's good and natural to be anxious, a little anxious, when you want to do a good job, right? When we come up here to talk to you all, we're a little anxious about it because we want to do a good job. We want to give you and God our best. No, we're talking about something different today. We're talking about like chronic anxiety. We're talking about a heart sickness that affects us all. And again, the pandemic, it made that sickness worse. So much more unease, right? So much more worry, so much more sleepless nights. But there can be freedom from that kind of anxiety. God, the Bible, is showing us a cure for anxiety like that. Psalm 27. Yeah, Psalm 27. That's what we're looking at today. It is a great psalm. You know, the psalms are full of wisdom. They're like God's playlist for life. Today, we're going to learn how not to be anxious. So yeah, grab a Bible. It's on page 379 in the Bibles we have here. Let me pray, and then we'll get into Psalm 27. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. We need you. And for those of us that do suffer from mental illness, I do ask for divine healing. Bring your healing, your touch, free us from that. And then God, for all of us today who are feeling the burden of anxiety, that feel worry in our life, I do pray that you're going to bring incredible freedom. You are going to heal our hearts today. I pray that with expectation. Put power on these words, Lord. Amen.
Okay, Psalm 27. This is a beautiful song. It's a great way to call out to God. It really connects us with him in a powerful way. But watch for the cure for fear, for anxiety. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Ah, nice. Did you spot it? Did you see the cure for anxiety? It's there. But first, let's talk about what's not there. David, he's the King David, he's the author, he's the guy that wrote this psalm. He doesn't ask God to just get him out of his mess, right? It's okay to ask God to change our circumstances, but that's not the cure for anxiety. It goes deeper than that. And David, he also, notice how like brutally honest, like super honest he is about his circumstances, about life, right? You know, he's in real serious physical danger. Armies are trying to kill him. And he's also in psychological danger, lies, you know, accusations. You know, all of us have people in our lives, like our parents, people that are close to us, that can turn against us. We're all in real danger. And David, he's saying, like, hey, let's face the danger. Let's talk about the worst case scenario. David would make a horrible self-help author today, right? Because if you grab a book on how not to be anxious, it's probably going to tell you that what you're afraid of, it's just not that bad. Come on, what's the chance that the plane will actually crash, right? You know, don't think about the danger. Visualize a future in which that doesn't happen, right? You know, don't focus on the danger. Think about this visualized future. Think happy thoughts. Okay, sure. Denial, visualization, it can help. It can give us some temporary relief. But what happens when the thing we fear actually happens? David, God, they're giving us a more powerful cure for anxiety here. And also, notice that David actually cares about the fact that his parents could forsake him, or that people could actually kill him. He cares about those things. And I mention that because the ancient Greeks, and actually kind of the Buddhists too, they came up with a different path away from anxiety. The classical philosophers, they said, hey, you know, if you look at people, if we set our heart on something in this world, right? If we really put our heart on it, then we will actually be held kind of hostage, enslaved by that thing. And if anything threatens that thing, well, then we get scared, we get anxious. So if you don't want to be anxious, you just need to detach from the things of this world. You know, you can kiss your kids goodnight, But you always have to remember that at any moment they could die. You have to be detached from them. Now notice, David doesn't do that. Now sure, and this detachment business, it didn't come along for, 500, 600 years after David. But David is so full of love and passion, I don't think he could have done it. He would have rejected detachment. But let's talk about someone who actually did reject detachment. Saint Augustine. St. Augustine, he was a genius follower of Jesus, and he looked at this whole detachment business, and he said, wow, that is so wrong and so right. True. If we attach our hearts to anything in this world, we become enslaved by that thing. We have to have it to be happy. That is the root cause of our deep anxiety. But detachment? No. We're not going to like purposely love less, purposely harden our hearts. That's just selfish and inhumane, right? The cure is worse than the disease. Augustine's like, no to detachment. No, don't love your kids or your career or anything in this world less. No, instead, the cure for anxiety is to love God more. Love God more. You know, love something outside of this world more. And that's exactly what David says in Psalm 27. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. One thing I ask. This only do I seek. David cares about other things in this world, but he's saying the thing that I really need, the thing I want most is you, God, to experience you and your love, to be with you. That's the one thing I've got to have. If I've got that, then everything else is okay. So let's step back. The cure for anxiety is pretty simple. If we want to be less anxious, we just need to love God more than anything else in this world. And you know, we actually have a word for loving other things more than God. We have a word for having other gods ahead of God, of not having him, you know, be the number one thing in our life, of not loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, of not seeking the kingdom of God first. That word, the thing we call it, is idolatry. See, this is a happy talk on anxiety today. The equation is actually really simple. Less idolatry equals less anxiety. More idolatry equals more anxiety. And it's really easy to apply it to the pandemic, right? The pandemic hit, COVID hit us, and suddenly we're anxious, we are stressed because our false gods are threatened. I know I saw it in my life. My kids, during the pandemic, a couple of them got really sick, and it bothered me. I started to lose sleep, I was upset, I gave myself a peptic ulcer. It was bad, right? But I love my kids, and I didn't need to love them any less. No, I needed to love God more, right? I needed to trust him more. I needed to trust his love for my children more. And that's what brought relief. That's what helped with my anxiety. What about you? Do you see any false gods that are threatened in your life? You know, with the pandemic, many of us discovered how much we care. We value our physical health because our health was threatened. Or maybe it was our jobs, our career, our financial security was in doubt. Or maybe we discovered how much we hate to be told what to do. To social distance, to wear masks, because we value freedom, and our freedom was threatened. Or some of us, we got anxious during the pandemic because we love justice, and we started to look around the world and see so much injustice. Or we think that, you know, this country, America, politics, government, you know, they should be a force for good, and yet all we really see is discord and, you know, division in this country right now. The pandemic also, it was so full of uncertainty. And us humans, we love certainty and security. So a lot of us, we ran off to our addictions to find security and certainty and comfort in our lives. We went to the drugs and the alcohol, the eating and shopping. And, you know, we went to the sex and the porn and all those things during the pandemic, whatever it was. Let's be really honest with ourselves and with God. Our anxiety is like smoke, and you can follow it down to the fire. Do we see the root cause of our anxiety? Lord, come, come and show us our idols. Again, it's easy enough, right? The cure is easy enough. If we want to be less anxious, we just need to put God first. We need to love him more than anything else in this world. Got it? Okay, go do it. How? I am so glad you asked. I am so glad Psalm 27 shows us how. We're going to go back to verse 4, and we're going to look at three ways to really press into this, to dwell, to gaze, and to seek. It's right there in verse 4, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord. We will gaze on the beauty of the Lord. We will seek him in his temple. So first off, to dwell. And David here, he's not asking God if he can hide from his enemies in the tabernacle. That's not what he's saying. And bad people, like with, you know, knives and swords, are after David, right? He needs protection. And he's not saying, hey, God, let's lure them into the tabernacle. And then, you know what? The Ark of the Covenant, it can zap them all, like with Indiana Jones. That's not what's happening here. He doesn't mean this literally. He's saying, I want to dwell in God's presence. And sure, God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. David, he's saying, I don't want to just know God in this vague, general, distant kind of way. I want to know him personally, intimately. That's what I want. I want to be that close to God. I want to be in his presence. So how often are we in God's presence? You know, how often are we experiencing something where we know that God is with us? He is right there. Maybe we feel a shiver go down our spine or tears go down our cheek. And this can happen anywhere, right? It can happen when you're reading your Bible or when we're walking in the woods talking to God or when we're on our knees praying. We know that we know we're with God. I think for many of us, myself included, it happens most when we are worshiping, when we're singing praise to God. I think that's true for David. It's why in verse 6, he talks about singing to God. And frankly, I'm not exactly sure why that's true. There's something powerful, there's something mystical about singing to God that draws us into his presence, and we're able to experience his love and love him back. So when we are together, right, in person or online, and the band is playing and the words are on the screen, let me encourage you to join in, to actually sing those words to God. To sing to God, to open up your heart to the Holy Spirit, because he is super good at meeting us when we worship together. And let me encourage you to sing to worship God when you are alone. And I know that might sound a little crazy, but for me, this has been a lifesaver during the pandemic. To get up early in the morning alone and to sing my heart out to God. And it's not something I was used to doing, but the pandemic was stressful. I was pretty desperate, and I would start to pray, God, you know, I need a miracle. Heal my kids. And I would sing things like, you know, God, I let go. I know that you still are the God that controls the wind and the waves. It is well. It is well with my soul. And it is, because I let go and I fall into his arms and I feel his love. And that's all I need, right? To trust him. It's all I need. If you want to be less anxious, this works. This totally works. Next, another way that we can love God more than anything in this world, that we can put him first, is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And it's possible that David was asking to actually see God, right? To see him and have a vision of him. You know, some of us have visions of God. We see it in the Bible. People see him. You know, not so much with David, though. It's more likely that David didn't mean this literally either. What he was saying is, God, I want to see you. I want to stare at your beauty with the eyes of my heart, right? I want to go beyond knowing that there is a God to knowing God, knowing his holiness and his love and his beauty. As the old-time pastor Jonathan Edwards said, this is like the difference between knowing honey is sweet, you know, believing it's sweet because someone told you it's sweet, and actually tasting it ourselves. And notice, I think it's particularly important for us logical types, that this is about God's beauty. His beauty, not his usefulness. And God is super useful. What Jesus did on the cross, right? You know, paying the price for our sins, giving us new life, so useful. Even the devil can see how useful that is. But do we see the beauty? When we are born again, the Holy Spirit changes our heart and we start to see the beauty of what God is doing. We start to go beyond, you know, loving and appreciating Jesus for what he did for us to actually loving and appreciating him for who he is in and of himself. Does our love go that deep? Well, St. Augustine, he gave us a system, a three-step process to actually press into this. And it's a little nerdy, but it works. And so step one is to grab your Bible, right, and find one of the incredible truths in the Bible. There are so many powerful truths in the Bible, like God is holy and God is wise and God is love and humans are doomed. There's so many great truths in the Bible. Grab one of those truths. Hold on to it. Retain it as your own. You know, maybe put it in your journal, but don't just stop with knowing that truth. Step two is we contemplate that truth. We look and we gaze at God through that truth. We use our minds to reach out and see God more. This is when we start to ask questions about that truth. Like, God, you know, why are you that way? And, you know, am I missing anything here? Do I really understand this? And if this is true, do I live like this is true? This is where we fill up pages of journals, right, with really contemplating the truth. But we don't stop there. Step three, and this is the step where we really need the Holy Spirit to show up. You can't force this. You take the truth that we're holding on to, that we are contemplating, and then that truth erupts into delight in God. We are trying to see him and gaze at him, and suddenly he becomes so real. Like maybe his holiness. We are astonished or disturbed by it in some new way. Or maybe his plan to save the world. We're thrilled by it. We are excited by it in a new way. Or maybe we've experienced a whole new level of his love and his comfort. Now, I'm guessing someone here is thinking, wow, that sounds kind of mystical and weird. You know, maybe you're a little cynical. Okay, I get that. But Augustine, right, he was super smart, and he pointed out, he said, you know, we already do this business with other things in our lives. Yeah, you know, with our idols. We let our imaginations run wild with our idols. We dream about our dream houses, right? We fantasize about what? About the perfect career, the perfect vacation, the perfect sexual experience. Where do we let our imaginations go when our minds wander? Augustine is just giving us a system, an on-ramp to point our imaginations, to point our love towards God so we can love him more, so we can put him first. Again, how deep does our love go? Well, how anxious are we? Because those things are related. Next, another way that we can love God more, that we can put him first in our lives, is we can seek him in his temple. And the Hebrew word that is translated seek here, it's often translated as to seek counsel or seek guidance. David is saying he wants to know God's will. Later, he says the same thing in verse 11. When he says, Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path. David wants to know God's will so he can submit to it, so he can obey it. Yeah, a great way to love God back, to love him more, is to actually obey him. Now, I know that obedience is not always super popular, but it's part of this deal. And these two things, seeing God's beauty and seeking his will, they go together. You got to have them both. Now, sure, some people do skip past the seeing God's beauty part, and they're all about the obedience, you know, all about the obeying. But remember, the Pharisees, they missed God when he showed up. Legalism is a trap. But on the other hand, it's also a trap to skip past the obedience. That's a trap too. And sure, I know it feels good to see God's beauty, to have those powerful experiences, but we also need to seek his will. It's no substitute for daily obedience. We need them both. Just think about how marriage works, okay? Marriage, wonderful part of marriage is that you can fall into the other person's arms, right? You can gaze at their beauty. You can have this intimate relationship. But let me tell you from personal experience, my wife does not find me very beautiful when I am selfish, when I don't care about what she wants, when I don't care about serving her. The quickest way to end intimacy in any relationship is just be super selfish. You can't have a good marriage if it's not a top priority to find out what the other person wants and to serve them. Same deal with God. We find out what he wants. We love him back by actually doing it. We put him first by actually doing it. You know, I think that during the pandemic, especially with all the anxiety, many of us were like, I can't find God to serve him. I don't know where he is. He seems so distant right now. But remember blind Bartimaeus, the blind man Bartimaeus in the Bible, right? Here's a guy who knows that Jesus can help him, who knows Jesus can heal him. He knows that Jesus has to come out a certain road out of the city, so he waits on that road. If we want to find Jesus, if we want to love him more, if we want to press into making him first, let's wait on a road that we know he inevitably comes down, and that road is obedience. Even right now, Holy Spirit, come. We want to seek your will. Right now, God, show us the things that you would have us do in our lives. Maybe, God, you would have us show kindness to a neighbor or reach out to a coworker. Maybe you want us to read our Bibles more or go to small groups, start tithing. Maybe, God, you want us to deal with our addiction. You want us to go into treatment to deal with the drugs and the alcohol and the shopping, the porn, whatever. Whatever it is, God, you want us to do, show us what that is. And Lord, I ask that you protect us from getting bogged down in guilt and shame. Jesus died for all that on the cross. No. God, let our obedience be an act of love, a way of loving you more, a way of putting you first. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, come. Again, the cure to anxiety is pretty simple. If we want to be less anxious, we just need to love God more than anything else in this world, right? Less idolatry equals less anxiety. So let's press into it. Let's press into actually dwelling in God's presence and gazing at his beauty and seeking his will. You know, I invite you now, let's go ahead and stand up and let's press into this more. So we're going to move into ministry time. It's a time to pray and to interact. And I'm going to invite the ministry team to come forward to pray for people here in person. And the folks online, you can press that like request prayer button. You can get prayer online. So let's start really pressing into this with God. Holy Spirit, come. We need you. We need your presence. And Lord, I love how the psalm ends with David saying that he is confident he will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This isn't a promise that, you know, hey, you might be anxious now, but when you get to heaven, everything will be okay. You are promising that you will show up now and change us. And then David says, wait. Wait for the Lord. God, the truth is that we can't do all this on our own. We need you to show up, Holy Spirit. We need you to help us love you more. So I ask for that right now, for everyone in this room, for everyone online, that we receive you and are able to love you more. Lord, we need your presence now. We do. So just flood this room with your presence. Flood all the rooms where people are watching online with your presence. We need you to love you more. And God, as we press into seeking your beauty, seeing your beauty, and we press into obedience, show us where you are calling each of us individually. For some of us, it'll be more one than the other. For some of us, it'll be both. But God, show us where we need to go. I think there's some of us, like me, that it's easy to see the rules and follow the rules. It's harder to actually press into your beauty. God, for so many years, I would thank you for my blessings, and I would thank you for what you did on the cross. And then I remember one morning, you said, but I did it so I could be with you. Lord, help us to understand that incredible love. And it's not just what you did, it's who you are. Help us to see that beauty. Deposit that in us now. And then God, at the same time, we get hung up on doing what we want, and our disobedience keeps us from loving you more. And God, I'm not asking that we will obey you just so that we can follow the rules and check the box. God, I know there's times in my life where I've known what the rule is, and I haven't done it, and I haven't done it, but finally I was like, you know what, I can't actually love this God unless I obey him. Bring us to that point of actually saying, I'm going to do this, God, because I love you. I'm going to do it because you know best. Whatever that thing is in our life that's keeping us from loving you, give us the courage to actually obey out of love. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We need you. We need your presence to change us. I ask for incredible freedom from our idols, from anxiety now. Come, Lord, come. You know, if you want to respond to this even more, I would invite you to come up and let someone pray for you. Let them help you experience God's beauty, and let them help you press into obedience. Online, again, you can click that request prayer button. You know, they're going to lead us in some more worship, but I don't think God's done with us yet. Take some time to be in his presence, to let his presence change your heart, to love him more, to demote the idols and put him first. Thank you so much for coming to the Vineyard.